Joining us right now is Michael Oslin. He is an Asian expert with the Hoover Institute. Michael, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Wanted to talk to you, obviously, about North Korea and where we're headed with this. You're hearing a lot of rhetoric. We're hearing a lot of rhetoric from the administration, from the president himself, a lot of people saying very heated rhetoric. What are our options at this point with North Korea?
Well, I think anyone who's been dealing with North Korea will tell you we don't have any good options. We have failed for a quarter century to prevent them from getting nuclear weapons, now getting a ballistic missile that can reach the United States. This is the one thing that everyone told us, all our presidents told us we would never get to, and here we are. So you're either going to have to go to war, which no one wants, and of course is not the way to solve this unless, of course, they wind up attacking us or our allies. Or you're going to have to negotiate, which has failed for 25 years, or you have to accept now that they're a nuclear state and start thinking seriously about containment and deterrence.
I want to ask you about the role that China plays here. We saw the Security Council come out over the weekend, a 15-0 vote, China and Russia both joining with the rest of the world to sanction North Korea, seen as a very positive sign towards trying to contain North Korea. What can and do you suspect will China do as this moves forward?
Well, I think that if China had wanted to solve this, Vince, they would have done it a very long time ago. And for as far as we can tell, what China wants is to have a North Korea that is a thorn in the side of the United States. I'm not so sure they're thrilled with a nuclear North Korea, but the fact is that they've done very little to stop the North Koreans. And in fact, they've abetted the North Korean program. And we're still finding out or trying to find out the degree to which they may have helped them with missile technology, obviously providing economic support and avoiding the sanctions. So the fact that they voted for this one set of sanctions, which is it's a good set of sanctions, but we should all be clear that this is not going to change the North Korean behavior, means that it's really going to be up to us to figure out how we're going to deal with a nuclear-capable North Korea, because China is not going to solve it unless they decide that's in their best interest.
So is it your opinion that China has played a meaningful role in any capacity to actually advancing their nuclear capability?
Yeah, I think that's probably fairly safe to say. Look, at best, it's been a role of sort of turning the other cheek, looking the other way while North Korea has moved down this road. And don't forget, these are incredibly expensive programs. You know, you can't do these programs unless you have a lot of money coming in. And we know that a lot of that has come through the banks in China, through companies in China that have done trade with North Korea, China providing oil and the like. Whether they've given them actual direct technical help, there's open questions. It seems that some of the road mobile launched missiles that they have may have come from China. The fact is we can make an assessment that China is not particularly helpful.
Speaking of China, one of our listeners tweeted this to me. He said, I think you will see that Trump is playing bad cop and China the good cop. Don't be surprised to see a China-led coup. China knows the North Korean generals and which one to lead a coup against Kim. I would not be surprised if this is the U.S.-China plan. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this has been going around Washington and other places. I think it's no secret that China does not like Kim Jong-un, the current dictator of North Korea. That is different from saying they don't like North Korea. I don't think any of us would be terribly shocked if China tried something, which is not to say that even they're going to be successful in North Korea. They've lost a lot of influence over the past years. But if they tried a coup, if they tried to get rid of Kim, that doesn't mean they're going to solve this problem, denuclearize North Korea, or suddenly North Korea is going to turn into a democracy. Instead, it's going to be because China wants even tighter control over North Korea, and we have to recognize that.
I want to ask you to assess the efficacy and also the likeliness of the threats coming in both directions right now, which is to say the president of the United States said yesterday that fire and fury will be brought upon North Korea, the likes of which this world has never seen before, should they continue their threats. And also North Korea, for its part, directly threatening to attack Guam after those comments yesterday. What do you make of both sides of this?
Well, clearly we're in a different dynamic with President Trump. I think that, you know, most U.S. presidents have shrugged off North Korea's hyperbolic statements and their propaganda. We recognize that it's the ravings of a regime that is dictatorial and utterly illegitimate. President Trump's taking a different tack. Now, whether he thinks that by upping the American rhetoric in a way that sort of mirrors what comes out of Korea, they will back down, or whether it's just the way that he as an individual reacts to being threatened, and so he's saying, you know, don't try it on my watch. We're in a new era rhetorically. Whether we're in a new era in policy is really what remains to be seen. I mean, the truth is, the Trump administration hasn't done that much differently from the Obama administration, except for beginning the secondary sanctions against China, which is a good thing, and getting a tougher set of sanctions. But again, that's something that presidents have been pursuing in one way or another. The real things that would be game changers would be regime change, the attempt to do that, a preemptive strike, which I don't think anyone is banking on, or something else. So, you know, whether the rhetoric gets us into more of a shooting war, I think that's what North Korea does, and we'll have to wait to see how they respond to the president.
No sign that they're moving dependence or anything off of Guam, but do you take seriously North Korea's threat to that territory?
Well, I think we take seriously the threat because they have the capability to hit it. I mean, they've got weapons that can range our bases in South Korea, in Japan, and Guam. I mean, you know, basically, you know, according to the assessments of the last ICBM test, they're able to hit the West Coast, maybe as far as Chicago now. The question is whether they have a warhead, nuclear warhead, that can survive reentry, whether they can accurately target their weapons. But we should have known that Guam would be at the top of their list when they get these capabilities, because what they're really trying to do is raise the costs for the U.S., the threat that they would target our troops in the case of any conflict, and therefore we would think twice about trying to attack them militarily.
Lastly, what does China get out of them, out of North Korea, launching some kind of missile at us with the ensuing hellfire that's going to rain down? What does China benefit from that?
No, China doesn't benefit at all. I don't think China wants to see a war. What China loves is the status quo. The status quo where the United States has to spend enormous amounts of national treasure on defending its ally, on preparing itself to defend itself now from North Korean attack. A war would be a horrible, terrible thing, but it would probably result in the destruction of the North Korean regime, and that's what China doesn't want. So the secondary level to all of this is China's unwillingness to let the North Korean country or the Korean Peninsula tilt towards the United States at the end of whatever outcome we have, whether it's war, collapse of the regime, or a negotiated peace. That's why they want to keep bringing us and the North Koreans back to the table while they come up with plans to try to get us to talk, because it just perpetuates the status quo, which is in China's favor.
All right, Michael Osland from the Hoover Institute, thank you very much for getting us up to speed this morning on a very hot issue. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anytime.